This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome in, Grant, Danny, 106.7 The Fan. How was your Monday evening?
Splendid. I spent it alongside via television with Dave Jagler, FB Santangelo, and Gio Gonzalez, buddy. What a night. I wanted that thing bad. I wanted that for him. Last night so much, because it's impossible for me to quantify as just a regular slap, you know what, fan. Just a regular fat idiot who watches games religiously and loves sports and gets to come in here and talk about them on a daily basis. What Gio Gonzalez went through last night and yesterday emotionally is almost impossible for most people to understand. His friend is gone, and that was the night, the first time Jose Fernandez's family was back at the park, and they honored him. And
because it was Jose Fernandez's birthday yesterday.
Yeah. And for Gio to be able to not only just put all that aside and then go do his job and go pitch and throw the game of his life, he was that close, three outs away from a no-hitter. I couldn't be happier for the guy. I'm glad the Nationals won, obviously. It was great. I thought Dusty handled it perfectly. I thought Gio was just spectacular. Watching that post-game interview, how could you not pull for that guy? That was transcendent and awesome. Could not be happier for a better dude.
Yeah, he was back at home, about 8 miles from where he played his high school ball, where he still donates so much to the high school program in Hialeah.
Yep.
He's pitching in front of family and friends. He gets to see the late Jose Fernandez's girlfriend, baby, at the ballpark the day of Fernandez's birthday. They had a great relationship as a couple guys based in Miami who pitch in the big leagues in the same division. And his wife is at home where they're expecting their second baby's birth in the next couple of days. So all that weighing on his mind, he got through 8 innings of no-hit baseball. It looked for a moment like he might be able to pull off the no-hitter. This was the 8th inning. This was out number 24, still not having given up one hit.
Here's the set now. 3-1 pitch, swung on, he popped it up. Left center field, easy play for Goodwin, drifting to his right, backpedaling. He makes the catch and the side is retired. No runs and no hits for the Marlins. They don't have any tonight. A hit batter and a man left. We're through 8 innings in Miami. Gio has 3 outs to go. It's the Nationals 1, the Marlins nothing.
D. Gordon would lead off the 9th with a hit, and then great job by Dusty Baker, went and got him right away. At that point, Gio Gonzalez had thrown 106 pitches. He was exhausted mentally and physically.
Yeah, you could tell.
And you could see, I thought, wait till a runner gets to second base and then go get him. But Dusty made the immediate decision that it was Sean Doolittle time, who came in and shoved, gets his 7th save. You get a 1-0 win. The only RBI of the night came off the bat of Bryce Harper in the 6th, where he blooped a little shot over third base. And that's why he's going to drive in well over 100 runs this year, because it was a great approach from him. But Gonzalez, in a very emotional, tremendous televised interview after the game with Dan Colco on Masson, discussing how he was feeling over the course of the ballgame.
It was more of a emotional night, kind of like a special night. I think I got to see the Fernandez family, and what a night.
He was so important to you, I know. How much was he on your mind as you took the mound tonight?
Earlier today, we were warming up back there, and Robledo had a special ball assigned for me, just had Jose's initials and the ball on it, and special night. What a night.
And for you to do it here, you grew up in Hialeah, 8 miles here from Miami. You got a standing ovation from a visiting team's crowd when you came off the mound. What does it mean to you to do this here in Miami?
Hialeah, born and raised. I had my brother, you know, he came out to the game. I had some family come out to the game, friends, and, you know, this is always down the street, a kid from Hialeah. Would always be happy, would always be proud. And to have that kind of love and support out here is just something, it brings tears to your eyes, it brings it emotional. And it just like today was just an emotional day. It was just a very special day to see the family, see Jose's little girl. I was holding his baby a little bit, and that kind of like, it was just real special. And I know it felt the same way for them. It was just one of those days where you just want to get it over with because, you know, it's such an emotional day. And I was just blessed to have, you know, the kind of support here. And now I'm expecting, Leah's right around the corner, so I'm expecting baby number two. So I'm this might be my last one before I head on out. So if Leah's watching, I love you, and I'll see you soon.
Gio Gonzalez postgame last night. If that doesn't give you some chills, I don't know what will. Fourth in baseball with a 2.66 ERA.
Unreal, man.
Only Clayton Kershaw, best pitcher in the game. Max Scherzer, second best pitcher in the game, will win the Cy Young Award this year for the second time in two seasons, probably. And Chris Sale, who's going to win the American League Cy Young Award, have better earned run averages than Gio Gonzalez this season. It has been a remarkable campaign. The Nats made a trade before the game yesterday, 1-0 shutout
they
win behind Gio Gonzalez. One, I don't even want to call it a minor move because it's a fairly substantial addition. Brandon Kinstler, 28 saves, 45 innings pitched in a sub-3 ERA in Minnesota, an all-star this year with the Twins. I watched him pitch and warm up at the all-star game in Miami. Now 33 years old. Comes over, throws a sinker at about 93. He's a pitch to contact. A lot of light contact against him this year. Arm. He does not get strikeouts. He's actually got one of the lowest strikeout totals for a closer over the last several years in baseball. So he's not the kind of guy that's going to come in with a couple runners on and get out of a jam with three straight punchouts. But Danny, his ERA this year has been great. His whip, 1.15, is the best it's been since 2013. With Doolittle, Madsen, and Kinsler added, the three best relievers in your bullpen in the playoffs, if you're Dusty Baker, probably. If you can get Sean Kelly or Kota Glover or Sammy Solis back and throwing well, suddenly you've got a playoff-caliber bullpen. You don't have a lights-out closer, probably, but you've gone quantity over quality, and Mike Rizzo has thrown a bunch of arms at a problem now. You got to give him credit because he didn't give up any of his top prospects to do it.
Absolutely. This is a smart deal. The Nationals got better yesterday. Now, it gets trumped in the headlines because of what the Dodgers did. They went and got, in my opinion, the marquee pitcher that was available via trade in Yu Darvish. They went and got two power lefties for the back end of their bullpen to deal specifically with Bryce Harper if they end up facing the Nationals in the postseason, or Anthony Rizzo if they face the Cubs in the postseason. That was the design. That's what it looked like to me.
The Nats and the Dodgers were both trying to lose weight, and the Nats ran a mile last night. The Dodgers went to the gym for 3 hours and then ran a marathon.
And then, like, went to the steam sauna. I mean, it was something.
And, oh, by the way, we're in better shape to begin with. I mean, that's the best team in baseball. But the Nats have been that team. They've been the one seed. They've been the team everyone said is going to win the World Series, and where did it get them? What scares me about Darvish going to the Dodgers is that his numbers against the NL are just ridiculous. Everyone talks about, well, he's not the same guy right now. Look at his totals against the NL, a la Max Scherzer coming over from the American League. He's about to just not play well with the other kids in the sandbox.
Look at, A, his going up against the National League. I think it's a good point. But, B, look at the home road splits. That's the launching pad down there in Texas.
Yeah.
Somehow, miraculously, pitches much better away from home, even as he's having the worst year he's had in some time. That dude is nasty. The twilight in Chavez Ravine, when the sun goes down and the ball doesn't carry, it'll play just fine there. That guy's really, really effective. That is a rental. The Dodgers are, correctly, by the way, all in, chips to the middle. Well, back to Kinsler. This is a good pitcher. He is good. He has figured out who he is. Over you know, a few years ago, was still trying to, you know, maybe strike guys out and do something that he wasn't. It's sinker slider. He gets guys out. He is effective. Not a lot of sharp contact against him. I think you touched on it. He is going to help them. I don't know how he'll be deployed here. I get the sense that he'll be what Blake Treinen should have been for this group. The, hey, you got a runner on first in a big spot. Come get your double play ball. Here comes Brandon Kinsler.
I could see that.
Maybe he's got the seventh. Maybe
he's
going to
save some games, though.
He will.
I believe that. Now, what we've seen so far from Dusty Baker is that he wants Sean Doolittle to be his closer. That's the way he's been employed. But Doolittle's not going to be able to close in all of their scenarios. And what if you've got three righties in a row coming up in a ninth inning where you've got Kinsler and Doolittle rested? Why not go get the right-hander in that situation who has been saving games all season? You've got options now if you're Dusty. I like that. You could also, in a tight spot in the eighth or the ninth inning, protecting a two-run lead, go with Madsen to get two righties, then Doolittle to get a lefty, then go back to Kinsler to finish what he started to go right-handed again if you wanted to. But I don't know that they're going to name a closer. And I think what they should do is probably use the final 2 months of the season now, all of August, all of September, to figure out who's the guy in the ninth inning that does the best job. Doolittle's been outstanding so far. I think he has closer stuff, and he has, if you want to talk pure stuff, better stuff than Kinsler. So does Ryan Madsen, by the way,
yeah,
who's been 97-98 with a wipeout breaking ball. Eddie Romero, from a stuff perspective, lights out closing ability too. Kinsler is short when you compare him to those other guys. But he does, I hate this term, kind of know how to get outs in the ninth inning. So Kinsler, Romero, Madsen, Doolittle, that's the core of your bullpen in the playoffs. Now, Sean Kelly about to go on a rehab assignment. I started a rehab assignment this weekend, I should say. Does he get back and pitch well down the stretch? That's a fastball slider, high-volume strikeout guy that could help you. Can Kota Glover be back before the start of the playoffs? What about Sammy Solis, Albers, Oliver Perez, Joe Blanton, Matt Grace, all those guys competing to round out the bullpen?
But your core changed over the last 2 weeks.
Since the beginning of this season to now, if you're ranking the best relievers for the Nationals, you would say, one, probably Doolittle, two, Madsen or Kinsler, three, Kinsler, and then four, by the end of the year, could be Eric Fetty for all we know.
Right.
All of those guys were not here at the start of the season, which is why I like what Mike Rizzo did so much. And, oh, by the way, the acquisition of Howie Kendrick, I think, was brilliant.
Me too.
He can play left. He can play some second. He could spell Daniel Murphy better than Sanchez
good
can.
Good at
better
bats.
Than Defoe, who's been white hot, not to disparage him at all. But Kendrick can play left better than Adam Lind can. We don't know when Jason Worth's coming back. That guy's been out since 1976.
Seriously. And the timeline keeps getting pushed back on Jason Worth and his availability. There's an assumption he'll be just fine and dandy when he does get back. The guy that I think could be is an X factor here in this bullpen, one you already touched on, Kota Glover. The other guy is Sammy Solis, and I know nobody wants to hear it because his ERA is a touchdown and two field goals right now. Forget about the numbers for a moment. He looked, the last time he went and took the bump, like the guy they thought they were getting. This was someone that they said, okay, we can afford to make some moves, let some guys go because we'll put more on his plate because he's ready to ascend into that spot as a power lefty late in games. You could all of a sudden have a very left-handed bullpen when you start doing some of the add-ups here with Eddie Romero, with Doolittle, and then, of course, Solis and Oliver Perez, your left-handed specialist. That's a guy to kind of monitor and watch. If Solis maybe gets pushed out and marginalized now with some of these other additions, or if he kind of takes the ball and runs with it as they thought he would at the start of the season.
Grant and Danny on the fan. There is a Redskin who met with the media yesterday who has become imminently likable just by being a worker and saying all the right things that I think a lot of people in town are pulling for. We'll talk about that player and the expectations for him this season next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.